Can you feel God in this place? Tell you what, you're coming in, and the first service, the presence was so amazing. And I'm expecting even more for this service. You know, this video, I love the imagery. And today as we're talking, I'm going to be using imagery a lot because it's important to understand what I'm actually talking about, to have the imagery involved with it. And the imagery of this, especially when this kid with its cape on. You remember when you were a little kid? Before you get contaminated by what's wrong with the world and people jacking you up and, you know, you'd have these moments where just everything was possible. And you'd be outside playing and the wind's blowing and you'd be using the wind to enjoy yourself. You'd fly in a kite or, you know, put a cape on or, you know, grab a sheet and try to jump off the roof or something, right? And you'd do things and you would just enjoy the wind so much. And it's interesting how the wind is actually used in the Bible in ways that you might not actually realize. Now, before I go any further with that, let me introduce myself. If you don't know me, my name's Sean Clare. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you notice, we don't have a podium today. Things are going to be a little different. And I'm actually taking this moment in time to point that out because I want you to shift off of this is like every other Sunday. Because we can get a new routine of just having expectations that, okay, this is what we're going to do today. We're going to go here. This is going to happen. Then I'm going to go home and I'm going to eat lunch. And I'm gonna, you know, and so I want to kind of move you off that a little bit so that you will expect something different. Because God's doing something. We're in 21 days of prayer right now. And I look back and where it grew from just a handful of people that just every 6 months we do this 21 days. We do 21 days. And we're at a place now where the people that are gathering not only are carrying the vision, they're actually carrying the presence of God. And things are moving. And you experience here on Sunday what is going on behind the scenes with people that are carrying this. And we're in this special time. And when he said giving up the pulpit on 21 days, I didn't even think about it. I was like, yeah, I could see that. In fact, I didn't even find out I was going to be talking to you until Wednesday. And it's because the way God was talking to me, you know, Dwayne was like, God's talking right now, and I want you to give that away. And it's indicative of what I'm talking about, the wind blowing. In Scripture, we have this idea of what the Holy Spirit is, and we have a lot of doctrines around it, and we have a lot of ideas because we come from such different backgrounds. You know, in this room right now, we've got, on one end of the spectrum, we've got people who came from Catholicism all the way from Pentecostal, charismatic, you know, and everything in between. And we come with ideas that were given to us oftentimes about what it is. What is the Spirit of God? But it's interesting, when you look in the Scripture, what the Spirit of God is described as, I don't know if you know this, but in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, right, so in the Hebrew and in the Greek, the word means wind. The word means breath. The word means spirit. And it's not by accident that this word, the same exact word, that's it's just one word. That's what it means. See, and so when the writers, you know, changed it into English, you know, King James is actually English. If you actually read it and you're like, this isn't English. Nobody speaks like this. It's English, you know, it's originally, right? And so when they're translating into English, they actually had to make a determination because, see, our English words don't actually work that way. Our English word for spirit isn't the same as English word for breath, and it's not the same as English word for wind. So they had to look at the context of it and try to figure out which it's referring to. Isn't that interesting? Well, why that word? Why that way? So if you think about it, right, Moses If you understand the story of Moses and how we got the Old Testament, right? Those first five books Moses wrote, and a lot of it was just download from God. You know, so Moses is writing. He's getting downloaded. This is how we as humanity started, and that's what you're seeing in the book of Genesis. You know, and so he starts out and he says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And then he goes into this statement around how the earth didn't have any form. It's like it's empty, it's void, right? And it says the wind of God was blowing across the face of the deep. The breath of God was blowing across the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was moving across this emptiness. And so this mental image of what's going on by using this word, it's more than just how we think about it. And he carries that on, and you see this imagery starting to develop across the whole of Scripture. You know, because in the next part, you see it again showing up when God is creating things, right? He's speaking. And if you think about it, what is speaking? Wind has to blow across your vocal cords to speak, right? So wind is involved in speaking. And so he speaks, and things start to take shape. And plants start to grow, and trees show up, and animals show up. And he's speaking this thing, and the wind is blowing. And then he gets to man, and he forms man out of dirt. And then he blows into him. And he becomes alive. And it says he's like God. See, there's something about when God blew into Adam, that he blew something into him that was very different. That there was a connection to God, that there was a oneness with God, there was God inside of him, that the idea of him being separate from God wasn't in the plan. And Adam didn't know separation from God. He just breathed. Every time God exhaled, he was breathing in. And he just breathed God. And everything about that connection just flowed and was life. And then, you know, we got the part we talk about the most was the tree, you know, where it happened. And the separation. And so all of a sudden we are separated from God and we don't know what to do. And God has a plan for that, though. But you see this word now being used throughout Scripture. And the connotation goes back to the beginning of what the Spirit of God is, that it's a wind that blows. It's something that you can't contain. You can't hold it. Have you ever tried to explain the wind to a child? How do you do that? I mean, 200 years ago, we didn't even know what it was. We knew what it did, but we didn't know what it was. You know, so now we know what it is. We did science, you know, we got the answers now. But think about the choice of the word and the experience of people with the wind. And so fast forward it now. You have scriptures that we read that we've kind of put into a certain way of thinking. And we don't realize just the imagery and the connotation around that we might be missing when we don't understand the word Spirit. Because who is it that impregnated Mary? Because see, you could choose the choice of words that the wind overshadowed Mary and she conceived a son. That the breath of God overshadowed Mary and she conceived a son. And all of a sudden, we have the child of the wind is back. See, because before, when Adam walked with the voice of God and with the wind of God, he was a child of the wind. He wasn't a child of the earth. And when he falls, all of a sudden, we step into this realm where all we know is earth. We get our food from the earth. We build things out of it. We build our shelter out of the earth. You know, we either pack earth together and make bricks and make it out of that, or we grow things out of the earth and make it out of that, you know? And everything we do is associated with earth. And we think we're children of the earth. That's what generation after generation, the enemy has convinced us we're children of the earth. We've even built towers. There's a story in there where they got earth and they built a tower because they wanted to get next to God again. And we built cathedrals. We built houses like this because we got to meet with God. Because that's what we do. We take the earth and we get closer to God with the earth. But when Jesus shows up, all of a sudden, a son of the wind is back. And he speaks in ways that we don't understand. Hey, go ahead and bring up scripture. Now, I got a scripture just to make this an authorized Sunday message, okay? I got one. I don't even have any notes. You notice I don't have a notes. There's no podium. There's no. He wouldn't let me write notes down. I was very uncomfortable with that. Just so you know. But look at this. This is something that Jesus says. And then I want you to bring the imagery back into this. It's the wind that gives life. It's the breath that gives life. The flesh, the earth, it counts for nothing. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't make that big of a difference. It's not the most important thing. And then he says this, the words that I've spoken to you, they are full of wind and full of life. See, that's a whole different imagery around that. And my question is, are you hungry for that? Because see, we can think in terms that Jesus came and he came because he wants us to do better. We're just messed up and he needs to fix us. You know? And so that's why he came to fix you, because you're broken and you need to do better. And we don't really know how to get fixed so much, so we just really work hard at getting better. And then we feel bad when we don't live up to being better. And then we hide our face from God because we feel bad. And the problem is that we don't understand this. Because I can't do it without this. And so Jesus, he shows up in the scene and he's a son of the wind. And every time he's speaking, things are happening. He's loving on people in a way that he overlooks their sin, and he just steps into their realm, and he heals. He restores things. He frees them. They find something they couldn't find otherwise just by coming in contact with this child of the wind, this son of the wind. And he spends a lot of time describing this stuff to them. And they don't understand. We read it. We don't understand. I'm pretty sure that I don't really have any scripture on this. I'm pretty sure that most of the disciples didn't understand what he was talking about. I don't think they could. Not yet. And I love this because this one guy named Nicodemus, he's one of the Pharisees. He's one of the leaders. He's one of the religious, you know. So it's and you got to remember, these guys are not only just religious, they're political leaders. So they walk in both realms, right, where ours are separated. So this is one of the guys. This is one of the big dogs, you know. And he comes to him at nighttime because that's when you want to talk to Jesus, right? You know, so he's kind of like, okay, I need to go talk to Jesus, but I don't want anybody else to see, you know. And so he's like, hey, oh, I know you're from God, yeah. And Jesus throws the statements out like, unless you're born of the wind, you'll not even see the kingdom of God. And he's like, yeah, okay. But how are you born? How do you get born? You know? And then he says this. And remember, this is the same word. For you that know your scripture, right? It's the same word. That the wind blows where it wants. The Spirit blows where it wants. And you can't tell where it's coming. You can't tell where it's going. But you can hear the sound of it. So it is that everyone who is born of the Spirit. You seeing it? And he's talking to us about the wind again. And he spends his whole time showing us what it looks like when you come in contact with the wind, when you come in contact with the breath of God, when you come in contact with the Spirit of God. Life starts happening. People, healing is a byproduct of that. Joy is a byproduct of that. Love is a byproduct. All of that stuff flows from that we experience it because all of a sudden now we're in connection with the thing we're always designed for. And there's this moment in time where he's died on the cross, right? He's experienced heaven, right? Went into hell, he released it, he experienced heaven. He's like, I'm going to go up to my Father, so, you know, don't touch me yet. And he disappears for a little while. He comes back, and we don't understand any of this. We just got these scriptures that give us a glimpse of this. But he spends 40 days with his boys, right, with his kids, speaking about things of the kingdom, right? And during this time, he makes this statement. He says, freely you have received, freely give. Receive the Spirit of God. Receive the wind of God. Receive the breath of God. And before he's going, he's like, you guys need to hang out because I'm going to give you something that you need. Something you can't not be you without. See, because they've been riding on his coattails. They've been experiencing authority and power. They've been operating it because he carried it, not because they carried it. His anointing, his power, he was giving it to them to operate in it. But as soon as he goes, what do you say? He says, I'm going to send another to come. Because he's trying to tell them, you can't do this without me. And I'm going to send me. See, I'm coming back to you. And so they waited and waited. And every day, they're praying together. They're hanging out together, talking about, man, how amazing God is. What is it that we're getting? This must be so important. We've been through all of this with him. And he's like, wait for this. I'm giving you something you need. They are hungry for it. And so I'm going to ask you a question. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? And it's interesting, the imagery shows back up again. Because the day of Pentecost comes, I don't know, I'm pretty sure they didn't think it was going to happen in Pentecost. I don't think they didn't know what was going to happen. They were just, I'm there, I'm waiting, I'm ready, I'm ready. And they just kept meeting and waiting. And then the day of Pentecost comes. And they're meeting again, and all of a sudden, it describes it as a wind that's rushing, that's mighty, that's just blowing. The imagery shows up again, and fire comes upon them, and they just explode, and they're speaking in tongues, and they're just, whoa, and they're spilling out in the street. Now, when I said that, remember I said we all come from different backgrounds? When I said that thing about speaking in tongues, if that tweaks you, what is that? I don't know about that. I was taught something about that. I'm not trying to put dings in your forehead. Really, I'm not. Okay? But I am going to talk really straight to you today. You might have beliefs around that that aren't God's. I know there are whole denominations that have sets of beliefs. I know there are thousands of people on the earth that have beliefs, and they don't line up with God. Is it okay for God to be right? You see what I'm saying? Because we can't all be right here. Yeah, no, we're just not all on the same sheet of music. And I'm pretty sure he's right. And so if Scripture says it, could it be that it's true? It's not a revolutionary thought, but sometimes, you know, a little common sense around some of these things might help. Could it be true? Could it be that this is part of the normal experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost? That God doesn't have a problem with it. We have a problem with it. Could it be fire shows up and it's like, whoa! If you don't have a doctrine for that, it's okay to let it go. It's okay to say, you know what? I have no idea what God's going to do. And I am okay with that. He can do whatever he wants because I value him. I am so hungry for him. I'm not willing to tell him what he can and can't do. I can tell you, I spent a good portion of my time telling God about God and telling other people what God thought. Okay? And I did reach a point, and I don't wish this on anybody, right? But I had a tumor in my head. I was going to die. I had been in a wheelchair for 2 years, and I waved the white flag, and I'm like, okay, God, I give up. Obviously, I don't know about you like I thought I did. Literally, that was the moment. And then all of a sudden, I hear him start talking, and I was not going to disagree with him anymore. I just wasn't. I'm like, whatever you're saying, God, I am with you. I don't know more about you than you. And it was transformative. And a lot of us in this room right now, we need to get to that point. It was the love of God that let me go through that. I do not have a doctrine that says God gave me a tumor. I don't have a doctrine for that. Okay? But I do have a belief around the fact that he is okay if I go through that, if it'll get me to where I need to be. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. If you knew the older version of me, you'd be like, thank you, Jesus, he gave him a tumor. You see what I'm saying? Because it's been traumatic. You can ask my wife. That's part of the process of us stepping into this, allowing ourselves to be hungry, is allowing ourselves to be hungry for the right things. For God, unadulterated, unfiltered, unrestricted, un-whatever, fill in the blank. Whatever it is we're doing that doesn't let God be God, could that be why every time I've allowed myself to be hungry, I didn't get to where I wanted to go? And the enemy's telling you, it's God. He's rejecting you. You're not good enough. You're jacked up. You deserve it. And he ties all these things together and does a really good job convincing you it's not safe to be hungry again. But what if it is? What if all of that is a lie? What if it's just I didn't know how to posture myself and orientate myself to God the way I'm designed to? And that's been the problem. When I received the Spirit of God, that whole experience with me and my wife, it's amazing. And I have to give you the short version. For those that have not met my wife, she's wonderful. She is a godsend. The ones who have met her are clapping. You're awesome, baby. She's like, stop, you're killing me. But I was in the Army, went to Korea. I'm ignorant as ignorant can be about Christianity. I hadn't received the Holy Ghost. Just before I was coming in, right, I was getting ready. And I was a high school dropout, right, who had this moment where I was like, I need God now, right? So I've been doing stupid for years already, and I wasn't even 18 yet. I was the kid you did not want your daughters to go out with. We'll just leave it there. And I got introduced to God. God, like, introduced himself to me, and I knew he was real. And it's like, now I don't know what to do. So I'm, like, going after God however I can go after him. And I'm getting ready, and I have this first episode where he shows me something about that he loves me, right, in an unexpected way. I'm actually trying to run, and I was not a runner, you know, because I'm going to go to basic training. I'm thinking, I have got to get through basic training. I just got to survive basic training. So I'm running, right, and I've been smoking for 5 years. And so I'd get up in the morning, and I'd be running. And I was like, God, I'm just so frustrated with this. And I grew up in California, the LA Orange County area. If you know, it's like constant streets and cement and asphalt, right? And this is a major road. There's like two cars each direction, two lanes each direction. And there's like all these cars driving more. And I'm jumping up and down on my cigarettes. And I start running again. The next morning, I tried to smoke a cigarette, and it was making me sick. And I just stopped. And I've been trying to stop for 2 years. And I just get this introduction to God, you know? And then I go to basic training, and then I come to AIT. I come over here to AIT. And over here, I get introduced to the fact that you can actually get the Holy Ghost. And I ended up being in this meeting where the power of God was just going, people were receiving the Holy Ghost, and I'm like, I need that. And then I get shipped out. I go to Korea. Now, I didn't know it, right? But my wife was going to become a Buddhist monk. She had gone to Buddhist monk school, right? And she showed up in the monk in the you know, and this is like stereotypical, right? The mountain next to the base, right? On top of the mountain is the monastery. It's like you see on TV. It's amazing. And so she goes up there and she's talking to the monk, and the monk's like, you need to wait. You need to wait. I think it was 30 or 60 days, something like that. You need to wait some time, right? And so she sends her back down. So she goes and gets a job. Guess who she meets on the first day of her job? Me. I don't know what it was about her. It was just amazing. She was, I was so drawn to her, right? And a few years back, somebody said, it's like love at first sight. It never even occurred to me. I was like, yeah, it was. I was enamored with her. She couldn't speak any English. I didn't speak any Korean. We could talk for hours about nothing. But I would be talking to her about what I knew about Jesus, right? And she would hear it, right? And I made this one statement. She remembers this, where I said, Buddha's dead, right? But Jesus, he's still alive. And there was something about the idea that Jesus was alive. And she goes back up to the monk, and I do not have time to tell you this story, right? But the monk ends up telling her to marry me. Yeah, it's crazy. You got to hear it. It's a wonderful story. And so we get married. We come back to the United States. I get stationed over at Fort Hood, right? And so find a little church. First day I walk into the church, right? And finding the church was another thing that God was doing, right? And I walk in there, and I'm just like, baby, this is it. I don't know if you understood what that meant, you know? But I was just like, wow, I can feel him here. You know? And so over the course of time, we're going to church, and I'm just waiting. I'm hungry. I'm going after. I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Right? She ends up getting the Holy Ghost. Right? Do what I thought, right? And so, but for her, she'll tell the story. There was this little girl who just got filled with it. She's speaking in tongues, and the glory of God's on her. And she's like, that is God. Because there was just no, you know, she was a kid. They didn't lie. She must have been like 6, 7, 8 years old, something like that. Just nothing in her would pretend. And she wanted that. And see, she was going, remember I said she didn't speak English. She couldn't understand what the pastor was saying. So she would ask me afterwards, and because we didn't speak Korean, you know, I don't know how much she understood, but, you know, I would talk to her about what the pastor said. But this one day comes along, she gets the Spirit of God. It's just pow, it hits her. And she's, whoa. After that day, she heard him speak and it was Korean. And she would come and talk to me about it afterwards and say, ask me what he said. And when I told her, she was like, yeah, that was what I heard. And God shows up in ways we don't understand. He shows up in power. He shows up. He just shows up and things happen. When I got the Spirit of God, it was like, oh, man, this, whoa! I can't describe, I don't have words to describe it. It was, I couldn't even see straight. Literally, my wife had to drive us home, and I don't think she had a license. That's, and it was just powerful. I don't know about you. Okay, do you remember playing with those little square batteries? All right. How many guys you stick that on your tongue? Oh, we got one for me. I'm not sticking on this on my tongue. Just so you know. You know, I think every boy on the planet that ever played with one of these stuck it on their tongue. It's just too tempting. You know, and the first time you do it, you're like, whoa, oh, do it again. And these things have some power in them. You know, now there's a plug right here on the front. If you unscrew the cover on that and you stick your tongue in that, that's a whole nother level. Same power, whole nother level. And we've experienced God, and sometimes it's like this. And I can do this. I said I wasn't going to do it, but I can't tell myself. See, and I can maintain composure too. I can be dignified, and you wouldn't even know it, right? If I stuck my tongue in that, dignity goes out the window. If you've never experienced that level, you don't know the God you serve. You really don't. And I know that's a strong statement, but you really don't know him yet. And I don't want you to feel bad about it. What I want you to do is I want you to ask the question to yourself, am I hungry? Because Jesus kept on saying, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And we read how he showed up. We read what he said we have, that what we've been given, and it doesn't match our life. It doesn't match our experience. Could it be he has something for us we just have not received yet? Could it be that if you'll dare to be hungry again, that you'll set yourself up to receive the thing that you're really wanting, but you don't even know what it is?